The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Tonight, police are investigating a mass shooting in Forest Park, Illinois, just outside Chicago, aboard a commuter train in what authorities believe may have been a random attack. Just before 5:30 this morning, police say the suspect shot four people in two separate cars. Three victims pronounced dead on scene.
Who told me all four victims were sleeping on the train when they were shot.
Breaking news out of San Francisco, 49ers rookie receiver Ricky Pearsall is in the hospital after being shot during an attempted robbery right there in Union Square. The suspect, who's also shot, is a 17-year-old from...
Where's everybody coming from?
Synagogue.
Synagogue? Where are you going? Where are you going? New York. Where are you going?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, thank you. You? Atlanta? You?
New York.
New York, thank you. You?
Corona, New York.
New York, all right.
New York.
New York, Atlanta, New York.
Yeah, New York.
And you stay?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
California.
California, and you?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. New York, thank you. Where are you going, sir?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia. You, sir?
New York.
Thank you. You?
New York.
Thank you. You?
New York.
Thank you.
New York.
Thank you.
New York.
Thank you.
New York.
Thank you.
New York.
Thank you. You?
Yeah.
Thank you.
New York.
All right.
New York.
All right.
An illegal migrant from Honduras was arrested after he was accused of stabbing a teenage girl at a baseball game in Indiana on Saturday.
This coming as a new report reveals migrants are making up 75% of the arrests in some parts of New York City.
Border crisis really hit home in the Midwest this weekend. Let's start there. Previously deported illegal immigrant from Honduras was arrested Sunday, authorities said, following an intense manhunt in Indiana after he was deemed a person of interest. Here he is. You see him, Demas Gabriel Yanez, 26 years old. Now, the Lake County Sheriff's Office says the manhunt began Saturday after a 14-year-old girl was stabbed in the hand with a butcher-style knife while at her brother's baseball game. When the girl's mother tried to help, the migrant also tried to stab her before fleeing. Now, in New York, police sources tell the New York Post 75%, three out of four arrests in Midtown Manhattan for crimes like assault, robbery, domestic violence are migrants. In parts of Queens, they say the figure is more than 60%, and guess what? They blame sanctuary laws for the spike.
Never mind any of that. Just repeat after me. There's no migrant crime wave. There's no invasion at the southern border. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Lots to get to on today's program, but this is Joe Bama's America. This is what the dear leader wants. This is Kamala's America. She's been the border czar, supposedly, for the past 3.5 years. They can try to remake her into something she's not, but the local reports don't lie. The facts are stubborn in this case, and yet they still we'll try to cover this up. I heard of one incident. I think I might have mentioned this a few weeks ago. This Ohio town near Columbus. It had 52,000 people. Small town. Small town America. And Joe Bama has shipped in 20,000 Haitians. 20,000 people from Haiti. And costs for housing has skyrocketed because of it. How does a small town like that absorb that many migrants from Haiti or from, and you saw the pic, they were coming from Senegal, at least all of those, and they're all young men, of course, military age men, and they're just spreading out over the country as they said there, Atlanta, K California, New Jersey, New York, Chicago. This is from the Chicago Tribune. Since Texas Governor Greg Abbott began busing migrants to Chicago in August of 2022, asylum seekers have transformed the fabric of the city and beyond. Cities in America are being transformed. This is all part of the fundamental transformation. We can't forget that. Future Democrat voters. How many prominent Democrats have said, I think they've got saving the vote. I forget what it's called. They're going to try to tack it on to the budget this week, which basically just says you have to, you know, you have to be an American. You have to be an actual citizen to vote. I wonder how many prominent Democrats are going to sign on with that. I mean, that'll expose them right there. They'll have to say the quiet part out loud. No, actually, we want illegals to be able to vote as well. I think it has a pretty good chance of getting through the House, but then what happens when it gets to the Senate? Is that where it goes to die? It says more than 47,000, mostly from Venezuela, have passed through Chicagoland, and tens of thousands have settled here. Local officials have opened up over 20 buildings to temporarily house them and spent hundreds of millions of dollars. They've watched their hospitals, schools, and food pantries fill with record numbers of people. It says Abbott did not produce the migrant crisis over the past 2 years, but he magnified it, forcing Democrats to reshape their party's thinking about welcoming immigration promises. Yeah, they're thinking it through now because they've gotten a little bit of a taste of their own disastrous policies, thanks to Abbott shipping them up there. It says today, driven by a June executive order issued by President Joe Biden, buses are no longer arriving in Chicago at the same rates as in 2023. So here comes Joe Obama to put a stop to it. That's evil. That's evil, you see, for Abbott to do something like that. He's a Republican governor, and I mean, he's trying to hurt Chicago. He's trying to hurt the people of Illinois. And here you've had tens of millions just pour into the country under Joe Obama's watch. And they're spreading out all across this land. And where are the women and the children? If they're fleeing persecution, where are the little ones? Where are the women? You would think those would be the ones to go first, right? How many false narratives? How many false narratives are perpetuated by the corrupt media regime? All these propagandists. Leviticus 26 and verse 16. It's one of the curses for our sins, our disobedience. God says he would appoint over us terror. And that's what we're seeing. This is a terrorist attack, in some cases, attacks that we've just invited in. Stabbings, shootings, just random violence, taking over apartments, terrorizing bus stops. I spoke about this last week. Fox News says the Mexican border state of Chihuahua is on alert for members of a violent Venezuelan gang called Tren de Aragua, or TDA, after receiving reports that members of the gang were moving through the state to cross into the U.S. near El Paso, Texas. Gang members, MS-13, they're coming into the country as well. They can probably get more power here. Get out from underneath the cartels and build your own small cartel. It says the Secretary of Public Safety warned Monday that Mexican authorities have seen a large number of individuals they believe are members of the violent Venezuelan gang. The report comes after the Treasury Department in July sanctioned TDA as a transnational criminal organization. J.D. Vance and Donald Trump were on with Jesse Waters last night, just talking about, you know, how Mexico basically is now a failed state. The cartels control everything. And they're funding a lot of this invasion. Listen to J.D. Vance from last night, clip 7.
It's funny that people accuse us of being bombastic for saying the cartels, we need to go after them. What about American citizens who are losing their lives by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, because we won't do something serious about the cartels? That's what's reckless. It's not actually doing something to stop them. I actually believe, Jesse, that the Mexican government, even though they couldn't say that, they want President Trump to be serious about the cartels, because that poison is destabilizing their country too. $14 billion coming to the cartels, and that was a couple of years ago. It's probably more today. They're not going to be a real country anymore. They're going to become a narco state unless we get some control over this.
Mexico is probably hoping for Trump to return. They're just turning into a narco state, as he said there. All of this crime is flowing through Mexico on its way to the United States of America. All the drugs, the human trafficking, the sex traffickers, the military-aged men from Senegal, just pouring into the United States. You saw in the cold open, migrants flooding New York City's justice system, making up 75% of arrests in Midtown. Here again, the regime lies. The regime says there's no migrant crime wave. Or if there is, it's just a little bit. It's not even as bad as ordinary crime that U.S. citizens commit. That's what they say. They lie. Any crime invited in. Well, it's all starting illegally, so they're all criminals in that sense. And I know, Elon Musk, he tweeted out what Kamala said back in 2017 or 18. I mentioned this last week, that illegal immigrants, they're not illegal. They're not criminals. They've committed no crimes. Now she wants to talk tough. And it's obvious why. I mean, we're 9 weeks away. That's kind of just blows my mind. We've passed Labor Day. 9 weeks from today, that's the Tuesday election. We'll have to see if it's just a one-day election this time, or if it's going to drag on for 5 days like it did last time. Someone, by the way, this is in response to this latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. You see the headline there. Is God, or why is God protecting this man? Why is he protecting Donald Trump? That's the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. You only get God's perspective at the Trumpet, or at the website, thetrumpet.com. If you don't have a subscription, make sure you call our operators today. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. I mean, you see God's hand. I know the regime wants you to forget all about it, that Donald Trump was nearly assassinated. And just forget about the investigation, Congress. I mean, they're on vacation, and, you know, the FBI, they came out with the big press conference last week, finally. And now they'll disappear. And we'll move forward. I saw where Joe Biden, I think he said yesterday, that he doesn't go to big gatherings anymore. It's too dangerous. Too dangerous for them. What about for Donald Trump? All of those requests for more security. So many people hate him. So many people want to see him dead. I mean, they call him a white supremacist. He's Hitler. And then we're supposed to be surprised that there'd be a coordinated effort to murder him, to take him out. Well, anyway, there's this podcaster. He's got a website, News with Views, it's called. His name's Cliff Kincaid, and Richard Palmer, our very own Richard Palmer, was on with him on his podcast, I believe, 2-3 years ago. And he seemed, according to Richard, this host was a little surprised when Richard was talking back then about the return of Donald Trump, back when everyone said he was finished. Back when everyone said he was dead. He's politically dead. There's no way he'll ever come back from. He's a conspiracy theorist. And now look at what's happening. Now we're 9 weeks away. We'll see what happens on November 5. But anyway, this author, he's writing about the latest Trumpet magazine. Why is God protecting this man? He says this author, regarding these attacks, I am a journalist and certainly not a Bible prophecy expert, but I'm intrigued by the Philadelphia Church of God, which is not my church, but offers some unique insights through its publication, The Trumpet, into why he survived. Why did Donald Trump survive? The head tilt, the screen with the graphic, the looking over to the right this time instead of to the left, as per usual. Why did he survive? This Kincaid writes, a student of Bible prophecy, Richard Palmer of The Trumpet, had appeared on my YouTube television show years ago predicting that Donald Trump would return to the White House so that America could have one final chance to save the world from the approaching apocalypse. That's not quite how we explain it, but he's a fan, nevertheless. It says here, the new issue of The Trumpet has a very interesting article on official federal involvement in the attempted murder of President Trump, an issue that must be front and center in this campaign. But it's not. They're trying to ignore it. They're trying to sweep it aside. They're trying to act like it's no big deal. Okay, a president's not been shot at for 40-some years. But we're just going to try to ignore this one because we've got so many other important things to talk about, like vibes and joy and Kamala's runaway popularity. Yeah, Joe Scarborough told us this morning how popular she is. Everybody loves her and the unfavorable rating. I mean, for Trump, that's the only thing rising for him. The fact that he's more and more and more unfavorable. Okay, whatever you say. Another meltdown. Kincaid writes, he says, an interesting article on official federal involvement. I read this. After all, how can we have a free and fair election if one side wants to bankrupt, jail, and or kill the other? How can this be considered fair? You've got this guy. He's on Morning Meltdown this morning. I'll play you the clip later. But he's on there saying how Donald Trump, of all people, weaponized the DOJ and the FBI. And this even as the FBI, the DOJ, tries to bankrupt, they try to imprison and even kill Donald Trump. The FBI coming in there to quickly cover up the crime scene. Nothing to see here. How is it fair to require that Trump continue to campaign for office when the evidence indicates the federal agencies under the nominal control of the Biden-Harris regime engineered the assassination attempt? It says, The Trumpet had predicted after the stolen election of 2020 that President Trump would return to the White House, but its new issue looks at God's intervention in Butler, Pennsylvania to save his life in the context of the prediction they made. You do have to connect the two. We've been saying for years he's coming back, and then he was nearly assassinated. God didn't allow it to happen. God intervened. It says the analysis in the article in The Trumpet titled The Truth About the Assassination Attempt is Positively Masterful. That's from this author, this journalist. Cliff Kincaid. Pretty amazing take. Positively masterful, as I say. If you don't have a subscription to The Trumpet magazine and this masterful take, make sure that you call our operators and subscribe. That's what's incredible. There's no cost or obligation. Nothing. Get tomorrow's news today. Tomorrow's headlines today. Last week, remember that, I mentioned it a minute ago, but the FBI came out with the press conference. They had a picture of the rifle and, you know, a few other things. But really, there weren't any new revelations. Nothing much to to speak of. I played this clip. I had others actually lined up last week. I just didn't have time. I think it was last Thursday's program. But we did play this clip. This was Jesse Waters. He had a clip of Donald Trump when he was having the exchange with Dr. Phil, and Trump basically he took it farther than he has to this point, saying who's responsible for July 13th? Who is behind it? This is clip 9.
You know, when this happened, people would ask, whose fault is it? I think to a certain extent, it's Biden's fault and Harris's fault. And I'm the opponent. Look, they were weaponizing government against me. They brought in the whole DOJ to try and get me. They weren't too interested in my health and safety. I would be if I were in their position, but they weren't very interested. But they were always making it, from what I understood, and I could feel it, they were making it very difficult to have proper staffing in terms of Secret Service.
Donald Trump has not gone this far, Congressman, in placing the blame of the assassination attempt squarely on the shoulders of Biden-Harris. The fact that he's doing that now, what does that suggest?
Well, hey, Jesse, thanks for having me. You know, I have to agree with the president. You can only call somebody a white supremacist and a threat to democracy so many times before somebody in America tries to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, on the basis of violent, angry, deranged rhetoric alone, this is how the left always lectures us. Anyone who opposes them, anytime there's any word used that in their view is inappropriate, we get a lecture, don't we? That, well, your language caused that violent act. And here they've gone on for years calling them the white supremacist, calling him Hitler, saying he was a threat to democracy. This article, I went through some of this last week. Why would-be Trump assassin Thomas Crooks remains an infuriating enigma weeks after the shooting. Why don't we know more? They got a lot of information, the FBI. They collected terabytes of information on this guy. And what are they telling us? It says when, this is the Post, when federal authorities raided his family's modest home in the wake of the shooting, agents seized hardware, including his laptop, two cell phones, and multiple hard drives and flash drives. It's about 4.5 terabytes of data. That's huge. It's a ton of information. And yet he remains an enigma. Why? How could this be? What does that information reveal? It says the large amount of data recovered is a potential technological treasure trove for forensic teams. But authorities, here it comes, authorities said getting definitive answers has been slow going due to the sheer volume of information to sift through. I mean, it's an ongoing investigation. You see, this is how it works. It's going to go on for a long time. And thanks to the regime media, people, it won't get any coverage, and people will just forget about it and move on. It's yet another story that Trump himself is going to have to promote and get out there, because no one else will. It's just like the stolen election. There's been no manifesto, no discernible path to radicalization, and no evidence uncovered to support allegiance to any group or ideology. He's like a ghost. He had no connections whatsoever. This is what they always say when he's connected, joined at the hip to the radical Marxist left. Oh, yes. I mean, that guy that was Antifa, I forget his name. He's right there in the January 6th protest. He sells his video footage of it to CNN, I believe, for something like $60,000 or $70,000. I mean, he was Antifa. You could find that out on a Google search if they haven't scrubbed it by now. And yet the FBI will assure you that no, it was just Trump supporters that caused the mayhem that day. Certainly not anyone in Antifa. What about federal agents? Any plants? Well, we can't get into that. We can't reveal sources or methods. These agencies, they're hard at work covering up the truth. Covering up the truth in some cases about their own crimes. 4.5 terabytes of information, and well, we'll just have to wait for years and years and years. Corey Mills. I mean, you just saw Eli Crane on with Jesse. There's only a handful in Congress that have even bothered looking into this, investigating this, uncovering the crimes. Eli Crane's one of them. Corey Mills, he's a former military man himself, and he's probably been the most outspoken. At the very least, just bungling fools that are presiding over, you know, the safety and the security of a former president of the United States. That's probably putting it the nice way, because it's, you connect all the dots and you begin to see, okay, there's a reason they didn't want to use the local law enforcement radios. There's a reason they didn't want the drone backup. There's a reason they didn't go to the morning briefing, the security briefing that day in Butler. This is the Secret Service. I mean, this is not the FBI. The FBI came in to clean it up after the fact. Listen to Corey Mills. This was earlier this morning, clip 8.
What we're understanding is this. We know that, and Cash, I'm going to go ahead and say the obvious. If this was a real investigation, it would have happened on July 14th. Mm-hmm. You would have immediately subpoenaed the security plan, the comms plan. You'd have started bringing people in for independent questioning. You'd have done corroborations of what fact fiction boards that we could put in place. And we'd have started to determine pure and simple, was this gross criminal negligence or was this purposeful intent? Now, here's the problem when you've waited this long. They've had enough time in the federal government. We know, go back to FISA and how it was abused 287,000 plus times by the FBI. Go to the Department of Injustice, where it's been weaponized to a point where it's after, you know, your political opponent, mm-hmm. not trying to find truth and justice. We know that the federal government at this point has probably gone back and memorialized documents to say July 9, July 10, July 11, to try and act as if they've dotted the I's and crossed the T's. But what we have found is this. We know that they were offered compatible comms plan and compatible radio by the local law enforcement, and Secret Service denied it. We know that local law enforcement offered a surveillance drone and drone capabilities for the day of the actual rally, and the Secret Service denied it. We know that there was a final day of planning that was supposed to happen in the morning of July 13th, and the Secret Service didn't come. We know that after the shooting that had taken place by Thomas Crooks, that you had people on the stage who didn't even know what the security plan was, because you can hear them going, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? That should have been an automatic prep and training to say, we know the motorcade is our rolling safe room, or that we already have a safe room that we're moving them to in the event of an accident or some type of an incident.
Cash Patel, who's hosting there for Steve Bannon, because he's in prison, the deep state put him in prison. But Cash Patel went on to say, I think I learned more about the assassination attempt in the last 60 seconds hearing you describe it than I have in the 2 months or so since it actually happened, because the regime media has covered it up. They're completely uninterested in what happened. They don't want to know. They don't want to get to the bottom of it. This is from that segment last week that Jesse Waters did with Eli Crane. Listen to clip 10.
Well, it is damning, Jesse, but like I said, I mean, it matches up with everything we've seen. We know that the Secret Service denied him extra protection. We know that they denied RFK Jr. extra protection as well. We know that they believe that if they gave him extra protection, he would look too presidential. Well, how about this, guys? How about you actually do your job and protect probably the most hated and, you know, the individual around the entire world that has the most threats against his life?
And remember, this was his, Joe Biden's, Secret Service director. He handpicked her, and she was running this show.
That's right. She worked for Biden way back in the day. She was on Biden's security detail. And the Bidens love her. This is the Cheadle woman that finally stepped down after weeks of pressure. Maybe it was earlier than that. I forget. But still. And then the guy underneath her, I forget his name. But you know, the higher ups were involved in denying extra security and making sure they could come out of July 13th and just kind of play dumb. Yeah, I mean, there's terabytes of information, but we can't really get a handle on who he was connected to. We don't really know if there's any political leanings. We just can't figure it out. Listen again to that segment from last week on Jesse Waters, clip 11.
Tell me about this FBI announcement today. They came out, they did a big dog and pony show, gave us some photos of the gun, the backpack, and the air conditioning unit. Did you really learn that much from what was announced today?
No, Jesse, we didn't learn that much today, and I'm honestly not surprised. But here's the deal. The big issue the FBI has, and you just talked about it in your opening, is whether or not the American people, whether or not we trust what they actually say. This is the same organization that went after Catholics, wouldn't investigate the Hunter Biden laptop, went after parents at school board meetings, and also couldn't find the January 6th pipe bomber, Jesse.
Sundance has a great piece. I'll go through it in just a second. But all you have to do is look at the energy and the resources they put toward nothing, and then the things they completely ignore. I mean, just the cold, going back to the cold open, just looking at America being under attack. I mean, this would keep the FBI, if they were a serious agency concerned about protecting ordinary Americans, there's plenty on the docket. But the crimes that go on in the plain of day, and then the other ones that, well, we just forget all, the pipe bomb's a good example. The Las Vegas shooter, there's another one. Just couldn't get to the bottom of it. He shot up all those Republican country music fans. And we couldn't figure out anything. What do you even know about the Las Vegas shooter? People have forgotten his name. Here's Sundance's take. This is about the FBI more generally. He says, if the institutional interests within D.C. are threatened by the subject matter, the objective of the FBI is to defend those institutional interests. No matter the cost. You defend the interests of the institutional, the agencies of D.C., the swamp, we would call it, the deep state. He says here, the FBI is not a federal investigative agency with a mission to serve and protect the people of the U.S. The FBI is a federal investigative agency with a mission to protect the institutional interests of Washington, D.C. Once you understand this process with clarity, then everything the FBI does and does not investigate makes sense. We've got to protect the institutions. We've got to protect the Secret Service. We've got to protect the FBI, the DOJ. And so they rush to the scene and start covering it all up. Listen to one last bit. From last week, clip 12.
These little drips of information are interesting, but we deserve more. The FBI says they conducted 1,000 interviews, issued dozens of subpoenas, scrubbed through Crooks' online accounts, watched hundreds of hours of video, but they haven't found a motive. They also never found a motive in the Las Vegas shooting either. Interesting. And hid the motive of the trans shooter. So we don't trust the FBI on motive.
So you've got Eli Crane, you've got Corey Mills, a couple more in the House, and then you've got Jesse Waters, a few conservative sites. Nobody else has even said anything, really. They certainly haven't investigated anything. If they've had that many interviews, as you just described there, if they have 4.5 terabytes of online information, hundreds of hours of video, and they can't figure out a motive? Really? You can see why nobody believes and or trusts the FBI in its present state. And yet this guy on Morning Meltdown, he's written an entire book about how Trump has weaponized these agencies. Trump's not even in office. Well, how did he weaponize them? The loyal host of Morning Meltdown, or one of them? Well, I mean, Trump, you know, he fired some people. He spread a rumor about them. It was not a good situation working underneath Trump when he was a president. He spread a rumor? Or he fired Andy McCabe? The man's guilty of lying under oath. He's a serial liar. And after he got fired, he got a cushy job at MSNBC or CNN, one of the two. So it didn't exactly destroy him. But oh no, you listen to the radical left-wing author. They're going to clear away a lot of space on Morning Meltdown for, because Trump is the threat. Trump is, okay, he's the one that's weaponized the DOJ. He's the one that went after Hillary Clinton, right? He wanted to bankrupt her, put her in prison, and in that case, he actually had the evidence. Yeah, obstruction of justice. But he didn't, as he said so many times, because he was trying to unify the country. These people, as they accuse Trump, they've got one finger aimed at Trump, and the others, they're pointing right back at themselves. They have tried to destroy him in every respect. They've spied on him. They've impeached him. They tried to convict him. They've indicted him. They've taken him to court on bogus charges. They've fined him hundreds of millions of dollars. And they've tried to, well, besides imprisoning him, they've denied him security detail. They want him dead. And some of them have come right out and said so, if they're honest. In all these years, he's Hitler. He's Caesar. He's a white supremacist. This operational mission of the FBI explains why, when a citizen brings an issue to the FBI, the citizen is more than likely going to end up as a target. Yeah, I mean, General Flynn, he sat down with Comey's two agents, and they came in sounding like, it's just a meet and brief, that's it. You're new to the job, and we're here to help you. And what do? They try to entrap General Flynn. He gets entangled in lawfare for years. They try to destroy him financially. It says, this reality is key to understanding the disparity between what people perceive as the FBI mission and what the actual mission is. Sundance says, this is not some off-the-cuff disparagement or conspiracy theory. This is the fact-based reality of how the FBI works. Even in my own discussions with John Durham's FBI investigators, they openly admitted how their operational mission does not permit them to entertain any evidence of corruption or wrongdoing within government. The deep state actors are completely innocent of anything, any wrongdoing. They're pure. Their motives are pure. I mean, we've got Strzok and Page. They're running the investigation into Trump, the Crossfire Hurricane thing. And they're texting each other back and forth, saying, hey, he's not going to be president, is he? No, he's not. We're going to stop him. That's an FBI agent saying that. And then how does that, when the dust settles on that and they're exposed as these corrupt deep state actors who are politicizing an investigation, and when they're exposed and they lose their jobs, what happens a few years down the road? Well, the DOJ pays them off $1.5 million. They actually took the DOJ to court, and they were going to argue that, hey, you shouldn't have released our text messages that we were texting on FBI phones. they made a killing in the end. That you make money when you go after Trump. When you weaponize agencies to get Trump, you become filthy rich. Does not permit them to entertain any evidence of corruption or wrongdoing within government. Listen to Kash Patel. He was on a podcast with a guy named Sean Ryan talking about, you know, when this all got started and just how much worse it is today, particularly when Donald Trump came down the escalator in 2015. Clip four.
How long has this been going on?
Decades. But it started slowly. I think Eisenhower was the first to say it in the 50s. I see it as a swamp thing. I see it as a who's running these agencies and departments, where do they go afterwards, and how do they get back in? And all of these people have connections, direct lines of employments from the private sector to Washington and back to the same firms, the same lobbyists, the same defense and contractor or big agency. And it's been going on for decades. I think when Trump hit the escalator, these guys got on steroids because they didn't care that he was a Republican and the Republicans were back him. They just didn't want him there to expose the corruption of the swamp, to expose the deep state.
That's why they're willing to take him out, literally, because he's exposing the evil. He's exposing the corruption. He's exposing the swamp. All that's discussed in America Under Attack. Make sure, again, as you subscribe to the Trumpet magazine today, if you're not a subscriber, make sure you request a free copy of this book as well. No cost, no obligation. The 800 number at 1-866-930-3024. Sundance says, when you understand how it works, then you start to realize the futility of expecting any investigative outcome from the FBI toward anything that does not threaten Washington, D.C. Protecting the D.C. system is the goal, the priority, the operational mission. Nothing more. Does the FBI inability to track the January 6th pipe bomber make more sense now? There are a tremendous number of examples. Look at what they investigate. The bogus investigation into Trump. Look at what they refuse to investigate. Hillary Clinton destroying 30,000 emails. And Jim Comey announcing that, you know, no reasonable prosecutor could ever get her for that. She's like a grandmother. The various FBI offices distributed around the nation are essentially interception venues, constantly on the lookout to protect the interests of D.C. If an issue surfaces that could potentially put the administrative state or any actor there at risk, the FBI is far more likely to intercede, intercept, and manage away the issue. So when they arrive, and then you don't hear anything more about the story, like the pipe bomber, that goes away. And then crooks, I mean, no motive whatsoever. We've got all this information, thousands and thousands of hours of this, interviews, and 4.5 terabytes of information online. We just can't figure anything out. We just can't figure out a motive. So, carry on. You know. We know what's going on. Listen again to Kash Patel from that podcast, clip six.
So let's get into the deep state, because it sounds like that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What is it?
It is an apolitical entity that operates in government to service itself instead of the American people. And what I mean by that is it's leadership positions across government, whether it's DOJ, FBI, DOD, CIA, whatever, combined with underlying positions that are pretty senior up, who work with mainstream media entities to perpetuate frauds on the American people, to commit government corruption, and to stay in power and to lie to the American people and to rob them of the truth. That is the singular purpose of the deep state, because they think once the truth gets out, their corruption is going to be exposed. They might get prosecuted for breaking the law. And once that happens, you have an explosion in D.C.
He's making the same point Sundance does. They're there to serve themselves, to protect their interests, to protect the institutions. That's the goal. Sundance says the FBI are essentially investigative managers. They're not concerned with fraud or criminal wrongdoing when, if that fraud or corruption might put a part of the DC system at risk. Certainly not. No. Instead, the FBI will take control of the problem and throw their investigative blanket over it. Example, Hunter Biden, laptop, as given by the computer repair shop. Yeah, they just cover it up. And last week we learned from Zuckerberg that, you know, even Burisma was mentioned. When they went to Zuckerberg and said, don't run the Hunter Biden laptop story or any of those connections the Bidens had to Burisma. It's Russian disinformation. The FBI promoted that, those lies. And it took a year and a half before the regime media even admitted it. Some of them still haven't admitted it. They're that wedded to their narratives, their false narratives. It says, once you take this context and apply it to examples you can reference, then suddenly everything the FBI does and does not do makes sense. Every contradiction, and I do mean each example that might be pulled into the conversation as a reference point, makes sense from the reality of this perspective. The raid on Mar-a-Lago and the targeting of President Trump is another brutally obvious example. The fruits are exposing them. They're hard at work trying to cover their tracks. But just pay attention to what captures their interest and to what they're just utterly disinterested in. Pay attention to it. And then you can begin to divine a motive like they do on Trump all the time. Well, there's got to be some kind of false motive here or some kind of evil, sinister motivation here because he's Trump. He's Trump, right? Many voices have recently started calling for the elimination of the FBI as a result of controversies that surround this factual mission priority. Those voices are not wrong. In fact, there's no way to reform the FBI as an investigative agency because the mission of the agency is the opposite of what it should be. It's completely upside down. It's been thoroughly and completely weaponized, all the more so by the dear leader, as soon as Donald Trump came down that escalator. The fundamental transformation was threatened. And so they went after him straight away. Now, listen to this meltdown on Morning Joe, this guy who's wrote this book about all of the supposed ways that Donald Trump weaponizes these agencies. Clip two.
Our next guest is reporting on the strategies Donald Trump used in the White House, allegedly to turn the country's most powerful law enforcement agencies into personal political weapons. In Where Tyranny Begins, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the War on Democracy, author David Rode exposes how then-President Trump tried to use both agencies to help himself and to punish his enemies.
The first half of the book is on Trump, and it's a clear pattern, a strategy where he would, you know, fire people who threatened him, spread conspiracy theories, and it worked. But Trump stated again in a book published this morning that if Zuckerberg interferes in the 2024 election, Zuckerberg will spend the rest of his life in jail.
Yes.
That last example, they're shocked and appalled. If Zuckerberg interferes in this upcoming election, he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail. So just looking at it strictly as a legalist, an attorney, what's wrong with that statement? You can't interfere in elections, can you? So the fact that he would go after and punish people guilty of crimes, people on the radical left side of the aisle, that terrifies them. That's tyranny, that they would be punished for cheating. The demonic thinking here, their minds are so warped that they actually think, I think they actually believe that what they're saying is true. That Donald Trump has weaponized the DOJ. That he's using it to go after his political enemies. That he's trying to bankrupt them. That he's trying to put them in prison. Who is doing that, even as this guy speaks? It's unbelievable. Listen to one more clip from this same segment, clip three.
Donald Trump sought to kind of divide the DOJ and the FBI, and that the fear was real inside those agencies, that they didn't want to cross publicly or even privately the man who could cost them their jobs. So how did he go about that as president?
Publicly humiliating them, publicly threatening them, and privately firing people. When he fired Annie McCabe, the former deputy director of the FBI, and got rid of his pension, that sent a clear message to people in Washington who don't make that much money. You know, he called them a deep state. And I want to say, I looked at this in a previous book. I looked at it again in this book. There is no evidence of an organized secret cabal of FBI and DOJ officials who were trying to block Trump or trying to force him out of his office. And
no evidence. The old faithful. No evidence whatsoever that there's a deep state or that anyone in any of these Washington institutions was trying to stop Trump. There's no evidence. Does he really believe this? You think about the devil. My father makes the point in the Ezekiel booklet that the devil tries to blot out history, and he tries to blot out his own history because it's so damning. Like, look, you rebelled against your maker, your creator. You tried to put your throne on this earth, even above the great gods. That's the spirit that you see coming from some of these people that are so warped, as I say, so warped in their thinking, that they're convinced that Donald Trump is actually doing what they're doing. How about that? Andy McCabe, you're really going to go out on a limb and defend McCabe? Who resigned in shame or was fired in shame. He should have been. Instead, he gets a nice job as a talking head, talking or representing the regime. Listen to Kash Patel on that podcast, clip five.
Remember, Trump exposed, we exposed during Russiagate, Andy McCabe's criminal activity while running the FBI. We exposed Rod Rosenstein's criminal activity while signing an illegal FISA, burying evidence of innocence, and lying to a federal court just to surveil a sitting president of the United States. We caught him. And they will stop at no length to get him.
He's exactly right. He Patel worked for Devin Nunes. He exposed the fraud behind Russiagate. And Annie McCabe, he was right up there, deputy director of the FBI, lying through his teeth. And then the others, guilty. Strzok and Page. How about Rod Rosenstein? And all of those lies in a federal court, no less. And precious few have even been held to account. A couple of them got fired. And here comes this guy, I don't even know his name. He's on the morning meltdown, convinced that Donald Trump has weaponized all of these government agencies in D.C. No, the truth, the truth is pretty much the opposite, the exact opposite of what that guy is theorizing. Sundance says, finally, the FSB is known to protect the interests of the Russian government. This is accepted and no longer arguable. However, the same purpose is true with the USA and the FBI relationship toward government. Unfortunately, the system of government that benefits from this protection is never going to willingly remove their guards. Never. It'll never happen. The last point on this issue is even more alarming. Only a handful of people within DC will admit the truth behind the FBI mission. With this in mind, who should be the FBI director, deputy director, and chief legal counsel for a President Trump administration? One of them should be Kash Patel. That's just my opinion. It says, if the goal is to begin the process to remove the institution, it's going to take a massive amount of public education to get this level of support in place. Removing this one agency silo is going to take up a lot of time by senior members of the Trump administration. You can see why they not only hate Donald Trump, they fear him as well. That's all we have time for on today's show. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. I even tacked on an extra minute at no charge. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.